Okay, in Parshas Tetzaveh, there's a leisase, which kind of comes out of the blue. It hits you by surprise. The Torah is describing how we make all of the big dekahuna. There's the chayshin, there's the ephod. And if the Torah describes in great detail how you attach the chayshin to the ephod so that the chayshin shouldn't be banging around, then it says, v'lo yizach ha-chayshin me'al ha-ephod, that the chayshin shouldn't be moving around, shouldn't be banging up and down, so it's tied down. And then many mitzvahs point out that this is a real leisase. The Gemara says that it's a leisase, leizach ha-chayshin me'al ha-ephod. It's a leisase, you have to see to it that they stay together, that they stay attached. So let's pretend there's a leisase.
How could be a leisase? It's said to tie it together, but
it's not a leisase.
If you remove,
yeah, but
you
don't have to make it, it
if
move,
someone
walking,
unties like it and pulls it away, then
okay,
that's a violation
right,
of the
right,
leisase, right, by pulling one away from the other. So what's the inyan of this leisase, that there's such a big emphasis in the Torah on the chayshin and the ephod being attached? So this is something that's a little bit, I guess, conjecture. But it's based on an idea that we find in the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma writes about how all the writings that were on the Kohen Gadol, there are three places in the Big Dekuna that there was something written. There is the stones of the Chayshin, which had the names of the Shvatim, the stones of the shoulders of the Ephod, which again had the names of the Shvatim, and then there was the Tzitz, which said Kedesh Lashem. And Meshech Chachma explains that the Kodesh Lashem is really meant to be the end of the sentence of all those stones. And it's saying that these Shvatim, these names, the Yidin, are Kodesh Lashem, are sanctified unto Hashem. And he compares it to the inyan of a tefillin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Gemara tells us in Brachas that we wear tefillin and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Kevayachel HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin that says, that say, Mika Am Chesuaga Echad Ba'aretz, meaning there, and the Gemara brings other psukim also, that it has in Kevayachel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin, the idea seemingly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing Ava for us. So the Meshech Chachma says that in a similar way, the writing on the Kohen Gadol, I guess when a Yid, you know, walks into the Beit HaMikdash and looks at the Kohen Gadol, so he is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so his messages represent the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They mean to be expressing the Ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. So now, taking that as the sort of the kernel that would be the basis for this, there's an interesting distinction between the two writings that, you know, there's two lists of the Shvatim, right? The Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. are written twice. Once on the Chayshin, once on the Ephod. With a very significant difference. On the Chayshin, each name has its own stone. There's a stone that says Reuven, and a separate stone that says Shimon, and a third stone that says Levi. There's 12 stones altogether. On the Ephod, they're put together. There's a stone with a long list of names. Now, true, they're divided into two, but that really seems, that's really just because there's two shoulders. So there needed to be two stones, but it doesn't seem to be a deliberate division of the names. The names are written, I guess, more or less as concisely as, or as compactly as possible, given that they're on two shoulders, as opposed to on the Chayshin, where they're very deliberately separated, which parallels the tefillin, if you think about it. Tefillin, we were talking about a few weeks ago, the tefillin shel Yad, the four parashiyos are written all on one klaf and put into one bias, whereas in the Tefillah Shel Rosh, the four parashiyos are written on four separate klafim and put into four separate batim, which are then smushed together. So there's an interesting parallel between the difference between the two tefillin that we wear and the difference between the two sets of stones in the Kohen Gadol, which represent the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe the idea is that if it's supposed to demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ava for Klal Yisrael, so think of it in terms of, let's say, Ava that parents have for children, or let's say more broadly, when somebody that's responsible for a lot of people, there's an individual Ava, and there's the Klal Yisrael Ava. Right? If you think, let's say, certainly in a family, but on a larger scale, think institutionally. Right? Let's say you have a Rosh Yeshiva who has many Talmidim in his Yeshiva. You have a Melech, right, who has all the subjects of his kingdom, and he's a Melech Toiv, and he really wants what's best for everybody in his kingdom. So he wants what's best for every individual. He also wants what's best for the Klal. But sometimes there's a conflict between the two. you know, it could, you know, on a micro level, anybody that has multiple children sometimes struggles with this, that you're trying to reach a decision and it might impact one child one way and another child the other way, and it might be for the greater good of the whole klal, but to the detriment of an individual, and you have to really seek out eitz about how to navigate such decisions. And again, you know, if it's in an institution, so all the more so. You over there, you're trying to do things that are for the best of the klal, where oftentimes it's really detrimental for some yechidim within that klal. If the two different sets of stones represent the individual ava, the cheshen is the ava, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Klal Yisrael as individuals, that's why each one is on a separate stone, and the ephod, the kisvos ephod, represent the ava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, so by tying them together and commanding v'lo yizach ha-cheshen, what it's conveying is that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no such conflict, that there's a seamless fusion between the Ava for the Prat and the Ava for the Klal. Unlike the Abbas of Adam, that whenever he has an Ava for a Prat and Ava for a Klal, there's going to be conflicts, and he has to try to figure out how to cause the least harm to one while looking out for the other. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no conflict. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to do things that are in the best interest of the Klal, while at the same time making sure that it works out best for each individual, because only he, because Gavu Machshavayisav Machshavayisenu, he's able to do that. That, it could be, is the symbolism in the Loyizach HaKhoshen, that there's a Loyizasa, Loyizach HaKhoshen Me'ala Eifoid, not separating the Khoshen from the Eifoid, that this demonstrates the fusion between these two Avos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. Okay.
We can't
understand that. Right. That's the machshavayisim. Right. That's it's something that we can't really wrap our minds around. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yachol.
So by separating it, you're denying that Hashem could do that. That's the problem.
Right. You're not recognizing. I mean, if the whole purpose of the putting them together is to demonstrate this, so you're undoing the whole symbol.
Right.
Okay. Now, to talk about a more kolistic inyan, which really has to do with, it's mainly Parashas Truma, but it has to do with Tetzava also. If you take a look in the Sefer Achinach, which collects the minyan ha-mitzvahs and arranges them, I'll say to ha-parashiyos, so you'll see that Parashas Truma has very few mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah, altogether there's three mitzvahs in the parasha, but that's because the Lechem HaPanim gets thrown in, and there's also a loisas about taking away the badei ha'arayin. But in terms of the overall theme of the parasha, which is about making the Mishkan and all the kelim, there's just one mitzvah that's counted. By contrast, if you look in the previous parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, I think there's 50-something mitzvahs. In Mishpatim, there's 50-something mitzvahs. In Parashas Shuma, there's very few. If you
it's more about building the mission.
Right? But the thing is, though, if you actually go through the psukim, there's an awful lot of psukim that give commandments. V'asisa, 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 one after another. V'asisa, aram, v'asisa, shulchan, v'asisa, v'anayra. And many more details also, right? V'asisa, mishpatzayza, v'asisa, tabbizza, v'hevesa,
badim, v'asisa, v'asisa. Each one's a separate mitzvah, or it's a general one mitzvah to go up to?
So that's the question that I want to explore, or that the Rishonim discuss. Why aren't all of these counted separately as individual mitzvahs? So you would say they all go into one category. This is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvahs, he says, I'm not going to count making the shulchan, making the menorah, making the mizbeach as separate mitzvahs, right? And kol shekhen, all the details within the menorah, within the shulchan, I'm not going to count them as separate mitzvahs because there's a mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash, and the Mikdash includes the Kalim. And the Rambam says that I already described in my Shirashim, where the Rambam at the beginning of the Sefer Mitzvahs gives rules for how he decides what does count and what doesn't count in the Minyan of Mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that if you have a mitzvah with multiple parts, what's called Chelkei HaMitzvah, so the Chelkei HaMitzvah don't count as separate mitzvahs, He gives an example that when you bring a Karban Oila, so there's so many instructions in the Karban Oila. There's the Shechita, and there's the Kabbalah Saddam, and then there's the Zrika, and there's the Hefshit, and the Nituach, and lots of other things. But it's one mitzvah, the mitzvah of bringing a Karban Oila. And yes, see the Torah for all the details, but that counts as one mitzvah. To give a different example, which is a little bit closer to our experience, it says in the Torah, if you think about it, in the mitzvah of Tefillin, the Torah never says, Where are a bayit that has four parashas? The Torah says to write the parasha of Shema. The Torah says to write the parasha of Ha'im Shemaya. The Torah says to write the parasha of Kaddish. And the Torah says to write the parasha of Ha'ikiriyacha. I might have thought to count that as four separate mitzvahs. It's written in four separate places in the Torah. But since they really come together to form one unit, so those are called Chelkei HaMitzvah, and they don't count as separate individual mitzvahs. They count as one mitzvah. So the Rambam says that that's what's going on over here. Also, I'm not going to count making the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and the Menorah as separate mitzvahs. It's V'asuli Mikdash, that's one mitzvah. Now the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, I don't think that making the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach is part of the mitzvah making the Mikdash. Making the Mikdash is one mitzvah. Making the Shulchan is a different mitzvah. You could have a Shulchan without a Mizbeach, without a Beis HaMikdash, and you could have a Beis HaMikdash without a Shulchan. The Ramban says, I'm not going to disagree bottom line. I agree that they're not going to count as separate individual mitzvahs. But my reason is, I mean, I'm also going to stick them into a different, like a subset of something else. But I'm not going to make them a subset of Asuli Mikdash. I'm going to make them a subset of the avoides that are done with them. For example, there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiris. What are you madlik? You're madlik a menorah. The menorah has certain dimensions, has certain instructions about how it's made. Those are all details in the mitzvah of hadlokas neiris. There's a mitzvah of sidru lechem hapanim, and the details of that mitzvah include what kind of a shulchan it has to have. There's a mitzvah of hakravas karbonis, and the details of those include the mizbeach. So each of the kalim of the mikdash are not counted as separate individual mitzvahs because they're part of the avodah. I count the mitzvah of how kravas karbonas, I count the mitzvah of sidur lechem hapanim, I count the mitzvah of hadlakas neiros, that's why you don't have to count the asiyas hakelim. So the Rambam and the Ramban are both in agreement that we're not going to count asiyas hakelim, but they have two different, they both say they're included in something else, but what they're included in, the Rambam says is the mitzvah of asuli mikdash, the Ramban says is the mitzvah of the avoides. Now, it's to pause over here and to think about how consequential this is, what we're talking about. You know, usually there are some people that complain anytime that a shiur has to do with the Sefer HaMitzvahs or the Minyan HaMitzvahs because that never makes any difference. It's all academic. You know, do you count something as, well, you know, there's a discussion whether you count the mitzvah of tzitzis as one mitzvah or two mitzvahs because there's the white strings and the blue strings. But everyone agrees that you have to put on the tzitzis, you have to put on both when we have them, and that one is not ma'akiv the other. All the dinim are the same. It's just a question of how you calculate the tariq mitzvahs. So, that, you know, there's always the criticism that such discussions are academic, are not really of consequence. Now, over here, that's compounded, l'chayra, because over here, we don't even have a machlokes about whether to count them or not. We're all in agreement that we don't count the asiyas hakelim and the minyan mitzvahs, and there's just an argument about why not? What is it that we're including it in? So this is like inconsequential, al-gabe inconsequential. So why is this such an important discussion and that I want to devote a shir to it? Because the underlying machlekes, the sheirish of the machlekes between the Ramban and the Rambam over here, is something very, very fundamental about what is the whole purpose of a Beis HaMikdash. When the Ramban describes what is the mitzvah of Asur Mikdash, the Ramban in his Pirush al HaTorah, he says, Iker HaChefetz B'Mishkan Hu Mokam Menuchas HaShchina. It's a place for the Shechina to rest. The Ramban. As Ramban at the beginning of Parashas Truma, the Ramban says that B'nai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to B'nai Yisrael, look, we, in last week's Parashah, 2 weeks ago, we talked about V'atam Tilu, Mamachas Kayin, and Megay Kadosh, I'm making you into a holy nation. You were Makabal HaTorah, you reached that Madrega, you're a holy nation, so we should be residing together, we should be living together, so you have to make a place where I could reside, Kaviyachal, whatever that means. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina should be concentrated in a certain place. And that's the whole idea of the Mishkan. That's what the Ramban writes. Now, that might seem very elementary, of course. If you know, yeah, what's a Mishkan? It's a place of Hashras HaShechina. If you take a look at the Rambam says something completely different when he's describing the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he says, Shenitz Davinu, we're commanded, Livnois Livnais Bayis, what's his lashon, I think, is Livnais Bayis Muchan La'avoida. To build a house which is meant, a place to do avoida, a place to do the avoida of the karbanos. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis Havachira, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, has a similar lashon, that there's a mitzvah that say to build a house in which we'll bring karbanos, and he throws in also in which we'll come together to celebrate the holidays, right? That's the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Meaning the Rambam is putting the emphasis on the worship that we do in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is there a Beis HaMikdash? Because we need a place to do the Avoda. We need a place to worship Hashem in special ways that we can't do in ordinary places. So there's a Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban didn't say a word about Avoda, about worship, about what we do in the Mikdash. We're not building it because of what we do there. We're building it because of what Hashem is going to do there. We're building the Mikdash, according to the Ramban, because Hashem, Kaviyachal, wants a place of Menuchas Hashchina, a place of, or what we call nowadays, Hashruas Hashchina, among us. That's the purpose of the Mishkan. Now, each of them might agree that what the other one says is also true, but on a secondary level. Meaning, according to the Ramban, we build a Mishkan not to bring Karbanos there. We build a Mishkan so that there should be a place of Hashruas Hashchina. But okay, but then once there's one address which is God's house, that's the Makom Hashruas Hashchina, and then there's a mitzvah to bring karbanos. So what? We're going to go to the Tachana Merkazit or to the Beit HaNasiy and bring the karbanos over there? Doesn't make, of course we're going to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash because that's where the Shechina is. But the primary purpose of building it was that there should be a Hashruas Hashchina. Secondarily, since that's where the Hashruas Hashchina is, so we bring the karbanos there. According to the Rambam, it's the other way around. The Rambam may agree that there's a Hashruas Hashchina in the Mikdash, but that's not what the Beis HaMikdash is for. That's not why Hashem commanded to build it. Hashem commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash so that we could do the Avoda there. Now, maybe doing the Avoda there brings a Hashruas Hashchina. The Rambam might agree to that, but again, it will be a secondary factor. The primary purpose of the Asuli Mikdash is to do the Avoda. So when the Rambam said that all the other kelim are part of Asuli Mikdash, they're the Chelkei HaMitzvah of Asuli Mikdash, that's the Rambam, the Shittasai. The Rambam holds that the whole Asuli Mikdash is build a place where we're going to do all these things, where we're going to do the jobs. So all the kelim that are involved in doing those jobs are part of Asuli Mikdash. If you just build the house without the Mizbeach, without the Menorah, without the Shulchan, so you'd be missing, the things that we need for the Avodah. The whole purpose of the house is to do the Avodah. So, of course, the kelim are shayich to the Asiyas HaMikdash. That's according to the Rambam. But according to the Ramban, they're really not. They have no shayichas to the Asiyas HaMikdash. The Asiyas HaMikdash is for Hashruas Hashchina. And the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach don't contribute to that. So therefore, he says, they're not included in the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash. So are they separate mitzvahs? No, I don't count them separately because there's a different reason. They're subsumed in the avoidas that they contribute to. But the kelim just have to do with the avoidas. They're not really part of the Asuli Mikdash. So there's really, again, underlying this very inconsequential machlaikis, there's a really much more consequential machlaikis about what's the fundamental purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Ramban, after he says that I differ from the Rambam, my reason for not counting the Asiyas HaMenorah Shulchan Mizbeach in the Minyan HaMitzvahs is not because it's part of Asuli Mikdash, but rather just because it's part of the Avoda. So he says that leaves me with a little bit of a problem. This because one of the kelim, I can't really fit into my theory. I want to say that all the kelim don't get counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs because they're part of the Avoda. So that's nice for the Mizbeach. Lots of Avoda that we do there. The Shulchan has the Lechem Apanim. The Menorah has the Hadlakas Neiros. But what about the Aron? The Aron has no Avoda at all. The Aron just sits there. So the Aron is not a Hechsher for any Avoda. So oh, very good. So there is a theory. The Ramban over here, we'll discuss that in a couple of minutes. The Ramban over here says that it's not really related to any Avodah. And so I don't have any good reason why it shouldn't be counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. So the meaning, as opposed to the Rambam who holds that that all the Kelim are part of Asulim Mikdash, they're all part of the Beis HaMikdash. So okay, so this is also part of the Beis HaMikdash. But according to me, that each one we have to stick into some mitzvah of Avodah. So which mitzvah of Avodah am I going to stick the Arin into, considering that it's not used for any Avodah? So he says, I'm left with the necessity of adding a mitzvah. Yeah, that I have to say that a Asiyas HaArein counts as a separate mitzvah. That's going to be on my list of mitzvahs. You know, the mitzvah, there's a lot of fluidity in the minyan of mitzvahs that we have. We don't have any Gemara that tells us what the 613 mitzvahs are. We just have a Gemara that tells us there are 613 mitzvahs, 248 mitzvahs today, 365 mitzvahs later. So that's all a Gemara at the end of Masechas Makis. But what they are in particular, that's really anybody's guess. So the Rambam has his list and the Ramban has his list. So Ramban says, I'm going to have to include Asiyas HaArein on my list of mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, you don't have to, but according to, because his theory covers everything, but I don't like his theory, I have a different theory, but my theory doesn't cover the Asiyas HaArein.
There's no mitzvah to put the luchas in there? To keep the luchas in?
That's also an interesting ha'ara that I think some people discuss, that maybe you could consider that to be the mitzvah to be putting the luchas. I don't remember Maram Kramer saying that, but there are people. But what you mentioned, we're going to discuss a little bit. This one, I don't really have any discussion, but I think there are those that suggest that. But the Ramban over here seems to be coming lafuki both of those. He doesn't think either of these are really an avodah that's done with the Arain, and therefore it needs to be counted.
There's all these.
Oh, so right. So there is a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah of bakasif yiso, of carrying the kelim on the shoulder. But the Ramban doesn't think it's mastaber that the asiyas. I think we all agree that the asiyas ha'arayin is a hechsher for the mitzvah of carrying it. You carry it because there's an arayin. So we wouldn't say that that doesn't count because it's just leading to. We could say that it's leading to the avoda. Right, the asiyah is leading to the avodah, but we wouldn't say that the asiyah is leading to the carrying.
But the arm wasn't really carried because it carried.
That's true.
Now you're getting into spiritual.
Right, we try to stay very unspiritual in this year.
I'm getting carried away.
So now. So now, like the way the Ramban leaves it, it sounds like according to him, you have to include Asiyas HaArein in the minyan mitzvahs. But according to the Rambam, you don't have to include it because that's part of Asulim Mikdash. The funny thing is though that while the Rambam, you know, the Ramban seems to be giving him credit that his mahalach, even though the Ramban doesn't like it, but it fits a little bit more neatly. It covers everything. But the Rambam himself doesn't seem to have thought this way. It doesn't seem that he thought that his theory includes the Asiyas HaArein. When you look at the Rambam in Mitzvah Seichof, which is the mitzvah of Asul Mikdash Shachanti B'Seichem, and the Rambam says over there, what we quoted before, that this mitzvah includes making the Kelim also, he then gives a list. He says, for example, this mitzvah includes, and he says, making the Shulchan and the Menorah, and the Mizbechais, and he doesn't mention Arayin. And then he throws in the word Vizulasam and others, which theoretically, I guess one could say, well, all right, he threw in the word and others, so that might include the Arayin. But it seems strange. The Arayin is not really like a sideshow. The Arayin is a pretty major part of the Mishkan. The Rambam would, you know, when he wants to say that the Mitzvah of Asul HaMikdash includes making the Kelim also, so he mentions a few, and then he says, and some others. And he left Arayin off of the ones that are mentioned explicitly, which seems strange.
What does he think about the other, not the Kelim, let's say the Krushim, the things that are specifically for the Mishkan? Is that part of the Vosel Mikdash?
Krushim, for sure, that's the Mikdash itself. That's the Mikdash itself.
But that's not a separate
Vosel Mikdash.
Right, that's, the Mikdash is the walls and the roof. What else is the, So the Rambam, like curiously, seems to forget about the Arayin when he's describing what's included in Asul HaMikdash. Over there, it's just, you know, like a hint that there's something, you know, off with the Arayin. If you take a look in the Rambam's, in his Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he actually writes over there that there are seven, it's funny, on he says there are seven Klei HaMikdash. On Shabbos, I was preparing this year at home, Shabbos afternoon, I was using the Frankel Rambam, and I noticed that he says over there that the Elu Hain Shivat Klei HaMikdash, these are the seven Klei HaMikdash. And then when I was saying it over in Shul, I said that the, you know, it's interesting, and the Rambam emphasizes that he's giving a number. The Rambam writes in one place that he writes a number when he was afraid that the printers would leave one out, and then you know, and then people would there'd be no evidence that something is missing. But if he writes a number at the beginning of the paragraph and then something gets left out, so then the reader will be able to tell if there's a mistake. So I pointed out, as I was opening the Rambam to read it inside, I pointed out the Rambam over here uses a number. He says that there are seven Klei HaMikdash. And then I opened it, and the Rambam that I was looking at in Shul was not a Frankel Rambam. It's the older edition. And it didn't have the word Shiva. It was left out. It just says Eilu Klei HaMikdash. And, you know, here the Rambam writes that I will go out of my way sometimes to include a number because I'm afraid of those print, you know, whatever, those copyists that are going to leave out a word. But here they left out the number word. Anyway, but it's not so consequential over here. The Rambam says that there are seven Klei HaMikdash, and he lists them. They're the Mizbeach, the outside Mizbeach, the ramp to the Mizbeach, the Kiyar, the base of the Kiyar, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the inside Mizbeach. Those are the seven Kelim. And he doesn't say Aron. But he says there are seven Klei HaMikdash, and he leaves out, and you could see now what he was calling Zulasam. I mean, there are some that are kind of less important, like the ramp and like the basin and, you know, for washing their hands. So that's what the Rambam was including in the Zulasam. But there's no mention over here of the Aron. Where does the Aron come up? This is in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. In Perek Dalet of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, there's a mention of the Aron, but in a very different kind of a nusach. He doesn't say that we're supposed to make an Aron, and this is what it looks like he does with all the others. When he's describing the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, he says, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a stone, and on top of the stone, that's where the Aron was. So just when he's describing the scene, the picture, he refers to the Aron, but he never talks about the mitzvah to make an Aron. And what this is suggestive of is the Emet Shasiyah. What this is suggestive of...
Muslims,
yeah.
It's the same stone.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know that, the same stone.
What this is suggestive of is that the Rambam held that there is no mitzvah of making an Aron. It was made once upon a time, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu with Bezalel, they made it, and then it was meant to just be there forever. And so it's not one of the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael has. The Haraya, once the Aron was hidden, which would happen near the end of the first place, Yeshio HaMelech didn't want it to be taken by the enemy, so he hid it. And then years later, when they were building the second Beit HaMikdash, and they made other Kelim, they made Shulchanais and Menorahs for the second Beit HaMikdash, they didn't make an Aron. Why did they make an Aron? Because there's no such mitzvah. The Hashem, so to speak, gave us an Aron. He didn't actually hand it to us from Shemayim like he did with the Luchais. He gave Moshe and Bezalel the instructions, but that was like a personal mission. Make the Aron so the Klal Yisrael should have it. And then it's part of the heritage of Klal Yisrael. But it's not there's no mitzvah of making it. And that's why, so the real reason why, according to the Rambam, it's not included in the Minyan of Mitzvahs is not because it's part of us who makes it for Shechanti B'Seicham, but just because it's not really a mitzvah for Deiris, it was the personal instructions from Moshe and Bezalel.
So in the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't in the...
No. Right, there was no Aron.
Does he back into that because the Aron didn't show up at the second Beis HaMikdash, or is he saying that the Pshat itself, the Lashon's different?
He doesn't connect it to the second Beis HaMikdash.
Just because of the way the Pshat's written, it doesn't look like a mitzvah.
I don't know. I don't know what was the Rambam's makar. That's a good question. What was the Rambam's makar to say this about the Aron? It's a good question.
Because there's no avoid directly.
Maybe. But according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of making the Kelim is not because not related to the avoda. Maybe his raya is from Bayis Sheni, from the fact that they didn't have it, but he doesn't say. So this is the Rambam's original whatever kind of Mechudesh Dika approach to the Aron. Now the Ramban, he specifically comes to disagree with this. The Ramban says that I don't agree, after, like I said before, he says that according to my theory, there's no reason for the Asiyas Aron to be left out because it's not a Hechsher for any Avodah. So I should really include it in my list of mitzvahs. And he says, and don't tell me that it's a mitzvah she'ein on a Heges L'deiros because of the fact that they didn't have one in Bayis She'ini. Ramban says something very interesting. He says, the reason why they didn't make one in Bayis She'ini is because the one from Bayis Rishon still existed. It was hidden, but it wasn't broken, it wasn't destroyed. Lu Yitzuyer, the Aron had been destroyed, they would have built another one. Because really it is a mitzvah L'deiros. But because they knew it was still there somewhere, it was just missing, that's why they didn't build another one. Interesting theory that he says, but he says, therefore...
The others were destroyed? The other Caleb?
I think so.
Probably looted. Probably went to...
I guess, you know, I'm not sure. Or maybe, no, or maybe taken captive is as good as destroyed, but over here it wasn't taken captive either. I'm not sure. But the Ramban explicitly says that I do consider it a mitzvah hanayheges l'dayreis, and therefore I'm going to count it in my minyan of mitzvahs.
I had heard that there was a rabbi, I think his name was Appelman or Applebaum, who went to the Vatican, and he was very close with somebody, and he actually saw, they showed him Kalim. This was word of mouth.
Could have been copies.
Not the Aron, but
they're... That's from the second
base. Second
base. Yeah, I've heard such things also. I don't know if it's true. There are such rumors.
You're not supposed to walk under the Arch of Titus, but on the Arch of Titus, there are descriptions
that's a familiar picture.
Suppose those weren't even the right dimensions.
What?
Okay, but it's an artist's rendition. Anyway. Right, that does seem to be. It does certainly seem to be a reference to the Menorah over there.
He was somewhat involved in World War II, and he was close to somebody. In the 50s, he went there. That's the story that I.
Okay.
I don't know for what it's worth, and it could be worth nothing. Yeah.
Now in the Rambam. That's the Rambam had like sort of threw us for a loop when it came to the Aron. He seems to have his own. His own chiddush.
I tried to contact Pope Benedict, but no response. So kodesh go.
Now the Ramban has his own wrinkle when it comes to the Aron. Here I said the Ramban writes that according to me it should be counted as a separate mitzvah. So yeah, I'm adding it to my minyan of mitzvahs. But then something strange happens. The Ramban. You know, he didn't write a Sefer Mitzvahs. He wrote Hasogas on the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. So, you know, the Rambam, let's say, he has a list of 248 Mitzvahs, and as he's going along, the Ramban sometimes speaks up and says, I don't agree with the way you put together these Mitzvahs or the way you took apart these Mitzvahs. So sometimes he's taking away some of the Mitzvahs that the Rambam counted. Sometimes he's adding some Mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count. And then, at the end of the whole 248 mitzvahs, to say at the end of that section of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Ramban has a paragraph where he writes that going through all my notes on the Rambam, I see I took away 17 of the mitzvahs that he counted. Now we all have to add up to 248. If I subtracted 17 of his, so I owe you another 17 mitzvahs. So here are the 17 mitzvahs that I do count, that the Rambam didn't count. And he has a list over there of 17 mitzvahs. Some of them are very well known. There was a famous sheet that's a Ramban that Birchas HaTorah counts as a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's where you find it. It's in his list of 17 additional mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that he counts as a mitzvah Noeg Bizman HaZeh, which the Rambam does not. It's also in that list. But when you go, and then there are some, you know, that are not so well known because they're kind of obscure topics. But you look through the list and you're expecting to find a Asiyas HaAron. Because the Ramban, in his notes on the Rambam, in Mitzvah Saseh Lama Gimel, he said that I'm going to count Asiyas HaAron, that's going to be part of my list. But when you come to his minyan of 17 extras at the end, it's not there. So, I'm not sure what to make of that. It seems that either there was a change of heart, or that he didn't really mean literally he's going to add it to his list. He just meant that he doesn't agree with the Rambam's reason for leaving it out, and as far as this inyan would be concerned, I would add it to my list, but there's maybe some other reason, which he doesn't talk about over there, not to add it. So what happened? Why? What might explain why it changed? So the first theory is really what you suggested before, which might be that what the Ramban assumed, that there is no Avodah that's done with the Arayin. So right away you said, well, why not? What about the Avodah on Yom Kippurim? The Dam of the Parah and the Dam of the Sa'ir were brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they were sprinkled to the Kapayres. Now, the truth is, it's not at all Pashut that we should include it, because they weren't sprinkled on the Kapayres. They were sprinkled towards, and the Lashon of the Gemara is, Im Nagu Nagu, if it touched, it touched, it didn't have to touch. So I guess right just from there you could see why it might be very debatable whether yes to consider that, and is that called that the Arayin is involved in the Avodah, and Avodah we do with the Arayin, like we do an Avodah with the Mizbeach, we do an Avodah with the Menorah, is this called an Avodah that we do with the Arayin, or is this just an Avodah that we do in the neighborhood of the Arayin, but the Arayin is not really involved?
What do they do by Hashem?
Yeah.
In by Hashem they did it towards the Makam Arayin.
So
yeah.
It must be that it doesn't require it.
Okay.
That means that it's that indicates that it's not really like the kli for the I hear. So one possibility though is that the Ramban, because this you could see as an open question, so the Ramban maybe, you know, thought about the two different possibilities, and at first he thought, yeah, I should count it, and then maybe he decided that this isn't really a avodah that's done with the Aron actually. So there's on this topic there's a beautiful Shekel Torah on this, the question of the Arayin being part of actually involved in an Avodah. There's I recently heard said over a beautiful Shekel Torah from a Yid named Rav Avram Luftever, who was, and it's a mitzvah to say over Torah B'Shmai, because he's a forgotten person. He was the son-in-law of Rav Meir Simcha. It's the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma had one child, a daughter, and she married this Rav Avram Luftever, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, really one of the Gedalei Adar, or I guess up and coming Gedalei Adar. He was Nifter young. The two of them were both, meaning the daughter and the son-in-law, were both Nifter in the lifetime of the Meshech Chachma, without any children. So by the time he died as an old man, he had no descendants. This is Avram Luftever. He had no children. He also had no published Torah. But after he died, people collected writings of his and put it in a sefer, and they called it Zera Avram. This is the offspring of this Avram Luftever. So the main work of Zera Avram is actually an exchange of letters between Avram Luftever and Rav Nachum Zemba. Rav Nachum Zemba, who was a Rav in Warsaw, who was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II, there is a little bit of published Torah from him, but most of his writings were lost. And we have this Sefer, it's not really so user-friendly, because it's almost all in Kutchim, and it's in Yanim that are not familiar to most, even Talmidei Chachamim. But it just to flip through the pages of it, the letters back and forth between these two Ga'inei Olam going through, again, it was mostly Kutchim, but, you know, each letter, there was some dialogue, and each letter would bring in dozens of Mar Mekoymais and bring Rayas to Yesodis and Big Shtikach Torah, mostly in Yanni Kutchim, but other areas of the Torah also. And these letters went back and forth between the two of them, and they were collected and put out in this Sefer Zera Avram. There's also So a few other ksavim that are of his or related to his. So there's one letter that's in the Sefer Zera Avram that is a letter not from Avram Luftever, but to Avram Luftever, from his father-in-law, his illustrious father-in-law, Rav Meir Simcha Kain, in which, but the Shtekel Torah that I'm going to say over, it's a short little piece, is Rav Meir Simcha says, I was so happy I heard a Geshmak Shtekel in your name. So this is really Avram Luftever's vart. So what did he say? He's going on that which the Gemara tells us in my cotton in the sugya of Eim Arvim Simcha B'Simcha. The Gemara says, from where do we know the Eim Arvim Simcha B'Simcha? We talked about this a few weeks ago in the Shir, that it's because when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, he did it in the week right before Sukkot. And the pasuk says Shivas Yamim v'Shivas Yamim. Meaning there was celebration then of 7 days for the Chanukah and Mikdash, and then the following 7 days for the Chag HaSukkot. Why don't you put it all together? The Gemara says from there we learn Eim Arvim Simcha V'Simcha. But So the Simcha of Chanukah HaMizbeach, of Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, actually happened in the week prior to Sukkot, meaning from the 8th through the 14th of Tishrei. Those were the days of celebration of parties, of Achila and Shtia. Now, one of those days is the 10th of Tishrei, is Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, what? They didn't fast on Yom Kippur that year? And the Gemara says, right, that's right. They didn't fast, and the Gemara says they had a cheshbon. They said a Shtikot Torah to show that Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash should be Derech Yom Kippur. And the Gemara even tells us that they were very nervous that maybe they were getting it wrong. And then the Basco came out and assured them that Akash Baruch was happy with their decision. But they didn't fast Yom Kippur that year, because Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash is Derech Yom Kippur. But the kasha is, but why did it's Doichi Yom Kippurim, but why did it have to be just then? What, there's a medrash, a psikta, I think, that says that the work was actually finished 11 months earlier in Mar Cheshvan, and then he was waiting for the most opportune time. The most opportune time had to be on Yom Kippur? Why did it have to be on Yom Kippur of all times? So Rav Avraham Lifshitz said, because the Gemara tells us that the kelim, the way that you're mechanich kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that they get initiated or inaugurated to have their kedusha, there were two methods. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was the kli sharet, there was the shemen hamishcha. The shemen hamishcha was mechanich the kelim, as we read about in this week's parasha in Tetzaveh, that you should pour oil over the mikdash and over all of its kelim, and that's how you're mechanich them that they should be installed in their kedusha. But mikan ve'eilach, after the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, avoydason mechan chasam. Doing the avoid is mechanichet. So Ravram Lefever said, Shlomo HaMelech, he wanted, when he's going to make the grand opening in the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, and the Chanukah's HaKelim, he should be able to do all in one shot. He didn't want to have the Beis HaMikdash up and running with some Kelim that are turned on, they already have their Kedusha, and some Kelim that are still turned off. So when is he going to be mechanech? So the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, you can be mechanech any day. But the Aron HaKodesh, you can only be mechanech one day a year, on Yom Kippur, because of the avoid of the Zvikas Adam, the Hazoras Adam. So that's why he dafka waited until Yom Kippur, so you could have the avoidosam and chanchosam, and that's when he did the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash. So Meir Simcha Koyin says, he writes to his son-in-law, he says, I heard this Dvar Torah in your name, V'divrei pi chacham chein. I had a lot of nachas, it's a beautiful Shikot Torah, except for one problem. He says, but there's one flaw in the Dvar Torah. This horror that we were just talking about, he's maskim to him on that. But he says, the problem is that Shlomo Melech didn't have a new Aron, so he didn't have to be mechanichet. Right. Like we were talking about before, there was only one Aron, Moshe Rabbeinu's Aron, all the other kelim he made, so he had to be mechanich. Over here, he didn't have to be mechanich. So, but Rav Meir Simcha says, but I don't have to slug up your exactly right. He says, I don't have to slug up your Dvar Torah. He says, it works just, you know, when the Kohen Gadol was sprinkling the dam of the paran, the dam of the Sayer, so first he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he sprinkled towards the Aron, the Kapayres. Then he stepped back out and he sprinkled again towards the Kapayres. In the right. Mishkan was the Kapayres. In the Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't a curtain hanging there, it was the wall, a Dvir. It was called, that wall was called the Dvir. So Rav Meir Simcha said that just like we consider the Zvikas Adam towards the Aron to be an avoid that you do with the Aron, so the Aron needs a chinuch, so the Zvikas Adam towards the Dvir also is an avoid with the Dvir, and that also needs a chinuch. So I'm going to say your Shikot Torah, and I'm just going to replace the word Aron with the word Dvir, and that's what he needs to be mechanic, and that's why he had to wait till Yom Kippur. Now, Kapanim, you see from this shtickel that both of these Goinim, the Avraham Lifshitz and the Meshech Chachma, they were assuming that there really is an avodah that's done with the Aron, and for that matter with the Pareches or the Dvir, and then that would explain why the Ramban might have decided eventually not to count it in the minyan of in the minyan hamitzvahs. I'm going to mention a counter. One second, let me just see where we're holding time. Okay. A counter argument to this, in another Choshva Sefer that's not so well known, but from the same Tekufa, there was the Baranovich Yeshiva, right, which is very, very famous. It was Rav Chanan Wasserman. There were really two Rashi Yeshiva in Baranovich, Rav Chanan Wasserman and Rav David Rappaport. They were co-Rashi Yeshiva in Baranovich. When when the Nazis were coming, I don't know the details of the story, but it's very well known how Rav Chanan Wasserman with his yeshiva was killed by the Nazis. We really have a first-hand account of what was going on in the Beis Medrash there, for that was written by one of the survivors. But a little bit earlier, the yeshiva had divided in half. Rav Chanan Wasserman took one half, and they ended up in Kovno, and they ended up being killed by the Nazis. And Rav David Rappaport took the other half, and they ended up in Siberia, and many of them got killed also. Rav David Rappaport died in Siberia. I once saw a story, I don't remember at all how the details went, but he died over there, and something about when he was dying, he was like, he had been beaten, or he was, and he was lying, dying, and then a yid came into him, and he said, I was just holding on so that someone should be able to be made to my wife that I died. And then he died. And then that yid survived, and he came out after the war, and he was able to be made that his wife died. He was made to his wife that he saw Rav David Rappaport die. Now, this Rav David Rappaport, he wrote a Sefer Mikdash David, primarily on Kachim, also on Taras and on Zrayim. And he didn't waste time with the easy stuff. he devoted his energies to the parts of Torah that most people find very daunting. And his Sefer on Kachim is really for those that learn Kachim B'i, and his Sefer is one of the main texts. In the Sefer, his Sefer Mikdash David, in that Sefer, he brings down a Yerushalmi, where Yerushalmi Masechet Shkalim is about the money that was collected from the Shkalim. We got into a special fund called Tshumas HaLishka, which is for the Karbanis. And the Mishnayis in Shkalim talk about what was paid for with the money of the Tshumas HaLishka and what wasn't. In the Yerushalmi, it brings down a machlekes about the women in the Midbar who were weaving the pareches. Where did their salary come from? Were they neipel and scharon from the Tshumas HaLishka or from the Bedek HaBayis, meaning from the general fund? Shmuel says from the Tshumas HaLishka, and Rav Huna says from the general fund, the Bedek HaBayis. Now, I don't know if this is an actual historical question. Were they really paying salaries over there? I'm not sure, but it doesn't really matter. It's meant as a lumdish question. How do we classify this avodah, and where should it come from if there is a salary that's being paid for it? So Rav David Rappaport said, what's the lumdus of the machlekes? If the Tshumas HaLishka is for karbonis, is the pareches involved in any karbonis? So if you hold that the hazoas hadam of the dam par and the dam sar and yom kippurim that's towards the pareches, and for that matter there was also one set of dam that went towards the arayim, right? It's the same shaila. If that's considered an avoda with the arayin or with the pareches, then it's part of the karbonis. Then it should come from the Tshumas HaLishka. But if you hold that, no, the avoda is just, the avoda is just to sprinkle the blood, and the pareches, or for that matter, the arayin, is just the general neighborhood of where you're supposed to be. But it's not considered an avoda that's done with that as a kli. So then this is just the building. The pareches is just part of the building. So then it would come from the general fund, from the Bedek HaBayis. So he says that this hakira, about whether we consider this, again, he's talking about the pareches, but the same thing with the arayin, whether we consider the zrikas hadam, the hazoas hadam, to be an avoda with the arayin, is these 2 days in the Yerushalmi. That's the Mikdash David's pshat. So, again, it's definitely an open question, and it could certainly be that the Ramban held one way originally, then was chayz held the other way. That's why he says he's going to count it, and he ends up not counting it. That's one possibility. I want to just end off with mentioning a different possibility and why the Ramban may have ended up deciding not to count. And according to this shot, maybe it's not even it works better to say it's not even a change of heart. It might fit with what he wrote in the Mitzvah Lama Gimel also. We said before that there was a machlekes Rambam and Ramban about, in general, why the Kalei HaMikdash don't count separately in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam says they're part of Asuli Mikdash. The Ramban says no, they're part of they're a hechsher for the avodah. They're included in the avodahs, and the Ramban says, but I can't say that by the Aron, because the Aron, he says, is not really part of any avodah. So that I'm going to count as a separate mitzvah. what we explain, why didn't the Ramban like the Rambam's pshat, that it's part of the mitzvah of Asur LeMikdash? Because as we said, that was a very fundamental disagreement about what's the Mikdash all about. According to the Rambam, it's all about Avodah, so the Kelim are part of that. According to the Ramban, it's all about Ashras HaShchinah. The Kelim are really not part of that. But that which the Kelim, according to the Ramban, are not part of Asur LeMikdash, because the Mikdash is for Ashras HaShchinah, and the Kelim have nothing to do with that, that's only true for the other Kelim. The Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbechais, they don't have anything to do with Ashras HaShchinah. But the Arayin, that's actually where the Shechina was. That was the epicenter. B'nei adati l'cha sham me'al ha-kapayres. It was when the Shechina, you know, kiveyachal, we don't really, you know quite what we mean when we talk about the Shechina being in a location. Because Baruch Hu is, you know, la'yasigu ma'sigi ha'guf, and he's not really in a location. But in some sense, the Chazal talk about the idea of the Shechina being more concentrated in one location than another. And the Ramban says that that's true for the Mikdash. The epicenter of that is on the Arayin. So the Asiyas HaArayin is part of the Hashras HaShchina. So maybe the Ramban would, by the Arayin, should agree to the Rambam's theory. That was the Rambam said about all the Kelim, they're part of Asur LeMikdash. And the Ramban says, no, they have nothing to do with Asur LeMikdash. But the Arayin itself, that really does have to do with Asur LeMikdash. So when the Ramban said that my theory doesn't hold for the Arayin, meaning that which I say, that the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbechais don't get counted because they're all a Hechsher for Avodah, that doesn't hold true for the Arayin. So as far as that's concerned, I would have to count the Arayin separately. But he actually ended up not counting the Arayin separately because the Arayin, he would agree to the Rambam's reason that it goes into the, doesn't have to get counted separately because it goes into the Vasali Mikdash. Because since the Vasali Mikdash according to the Ramban is Mokam Menuchas HaShchina, and that was primarily on the Arayin, so the Arayin and the Mikdash, that could count as one mitzvah.
In the same place, I think.
Yeah.
So, not that anybody was there, but.